Scorpions Avenue.
Self-help from the hip.
Small doses.
We're talking that shit.
Small doses.
And keeping it real.
Small doses.
With me and them seals.
It's so funky.
Welcome to another episode of Small Doses. I mean, people, we typically like bank episodes. You know, we may do some episodes that are more evergreen, et cetera, but I have never been more happy to be in a space of timeliness because we absolutely got to talk about the insurrection slash coup slash just dumb people being dumb that went down on January 6th. And I think for all intents and purposes, a lot of us watched it as Black people in much of the same way. And thus, today's episode is
side effects of watching the coup as a Black American.
Because I think, you know, this is going to be one of those episodes where my goal is that you're in your car like, yes, exactly, at least four times. And so joining me on this journey of remembrance is my very good friend. You previously heard him on Side Effects of Platonic Friendship. You have also seen him on such shows as Power and such stages as Broadway, various performances. I mean, he's a Tony Award nominated actor and performer, as well as an Emmy Award nominated actor and performer. And he's also a producer. And he also is the founder of WeAre.org, which is a nonprofit organization that is all about mobilizing folks for voting, Black folks particularly.
It's motivating people to seize the levers of self-determination.
Right. So, on which I am a board member. But I say all of that to say that he is also a full-ass Negro. And so, so here we are. Now, Brandon, also, yes, we are on camera, but remember, this is an audio genre, so please make sure to continue to
articulate all of my expression.
Brother. Yes, because I'm seeing eyes, but y'all can't hear the eyes. You can hear his mustache though, because that stash is in full.
Long,
that stash is like
strong and
Michael Jordan's wingspan. Yes.
People I like. Yeah.
First off, Brandon, where were you when you found out that these white people were wilding out?
It's like when we can't get vaccinated, when Michael Jackson died, and when the white people wild out.
Yes. Where were you when Michael Jackson died?
I was standing on 51st Street and Broadway. I just come out of the subway train. And there was this eerie feeling as soon as I got out of the train. Like, literally, it was like everybody was standing still. People were just standing still in, like, the middle of the street. Like, just not doing anything. I was like, what's going on?
And that part of town, for those who don't know, in New York City, is the top of Times Square. So it's still pretty bustling. So for people...
No, it's full of people. And I was looking downtown, and I just saw a sea of people standing still. And I was like, what is going on? Either aliens have arrived, or Michael Jackson is dead. And Michael Jackson was dead. So.
Now, see, I had come out the train station in Harlem on 151st in Amsterdam. And when I got out the train, I immediately looked at my phone and got a text from my mom that said MJ died. I thought she said Michael Jordan. So I out loud went, Michael Jordan died? And a woman across the street just said, no, Michael Jackson. And I was like, no. And she was like, yes, honey. Yes, honey. And I called my mom and my mom was sobbing. I called my my man at the time, who's a terrible person, but he was a Michael Jackson fan.
Good enough to love Michael Jackson. He was a good enough person to love Michael Jackson.
And he actually he was an artist and he made me a denim jacket that has Michael Jackson on it. And I won't wear it anymore, but I just can't throw it away because it's just too good. It's just too good. But I remember he didn't believe me. he was like, you're lying. And I was like, why the fuck would I call you and lie about the death of Michael Jackson? And he hung up and then called me back and was like, you're telling the truth. Yes. So I want to add that Brandon is from Maryland. So, yep. You know, the DC area, PG County, all that, like he is very well versed with that landscape. So where were you when it popped off? Wait, what was the first one that you said? 9/11? Was that the first one you said?
No, I said JFK. It was a JFK assassination, which a number of us weren't alive for. So
I was going to say, for our generation, I feel like it's 9/11.
Yeah, there's 9/11. Yeah, you're right. That would have been the 9/11. I was approximately on 119th and Amsterdam. And for the insurrection, I was in my apartment.
In your apartment. So you were in in Harlem. Now, were you just casually watching TV? Or because I don't even think we do that anymore. We don't just casually watch TV. Like, how did you learn of the events that were taking place?
I was watching a soccer match, and then my partner Warren, you know, my business partner, he was like, "Yo," he just started texting.
Just for the record, when you just said my partner Warren, there was probably a number of our listeners who gasped and were like, oh, "Damn!"
That's why I was like, "Let me give them the business, friend." My business partner Warren.
He is still available.
As he was sitting with his wife and child, texted me.
So there you go, y'all. He's still available. He out here. He out here.
You know, he's like, do you see what's happening? Like, caps and question marks. And I was like, so then I went on to Twitter and I was like, because I knew the whites were gathering, but they gather. And I was like, they're going to gather again. They gathered like 10 days before, you know, I was like, okay, so I didn't expect anything of it. And then when I looked at it, I was like, I watched it for 10 minutes and like I put some things, I heard some people, and then I was like, okay. And I went back to my game. Because the thing for me was there's the initial like, what is happening? And then I was like, oh, okay, let's just see what happens. Because I know, being from DC, I know for a fact that what happened is an impossibility. Unless it is allowed to happen, unless number of the people allow that to happen. The DC as a city is designed to prevent strategic military attack from being able to do that very, very same thing. So the only reason those people got into the Capitol is because they wanted to let them into the Capitol and let all that happen. Because otherwise, there's the Capitol Police, the DC police, the municipal police, the state, the federal, and a couple of military bases that are within a mile of this place. And we also saw quite recently when they knew a collection of Negroes were going to peacefully march through the street, they stacked military personnel all over that place.
They're snipers.
Yeah, it's like, so the only way that happens is if you let that happen. So that's when I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to see what happens at the end of this because they're letting this happen.
So for me, I had like walked the dog. It was a peaceful Wednesday, and I had forgotten that the whites were gathering because I was actually more so. So I've been getting up every morning to do writing sessions. So I try and get up like 7 a.m. and my day starts at 9. So I try and get up at 7 a.m. and write for 2 hours. And when I got up at 7, the word had come down that both Warnock and Ossoff had won in Georgia. So that had monopolized my morning.
You know, off the day.
Being emotional about that, about the fact that that actually happened, because I think for all intents and purposes, we've gotten so accustomed to like evil just triumphing over and over and over again that we forget that there are times when like good shit does win you know what I mean? Like, I think like we really, there's a fair amount of cynicism that has come about in the past year at least, right?
Absolutely.
And I get it. And when I say fair, I mean like it's fair. Like I understand. Right. But we have to also remember that, like, shit sometimes don't go right for them folks. And it, because I personally believe that they did everything in their power to steal that vote, but we had just done too much.
Right.
Like, that's why I feel like Rafflehouse, the head of the elections in Georgia, I believe that when he was on the phone with your man Trump, and Trump was just like, how could you, you know, how do we make this happen? He almost felt insulted because it was like, I know how to steal a vote. Okay. Like,
right.
I've stolen a vote before and I can do it again. You this fucked this up.
He's like, this is done.
Like, this is done. And I'm 1,000,000% sure they had instructed Trump not to do things that he did anyway.
Absolutely.
That prevented it from going that way, right? So it's just like, well, here's where we are. Thus, I was really emotional about, like, damn, like, motherfuckers really came out, voted, and turned the tide. That's where my head was at. I had forgotten, oh, this is the Electoral College vote today. And then I just, like, I think I just saw, like, on Instagram something about, like, they're voting. They're in the process, right?
Right.
Kept it moving. It wasn't until I was sitting here and my mom texted me like, you see these crazy white people? And I was like, what's she talking about? And
she's like,
yeah, exactly. And I thought she was, I don't know what I thought she was talking about. But then when I went to the link that she sent, it was CNN. And I was like, oh, these crazy white people. Now, Brendan had already told us, like, she's going to pop off on the 6th. Brendan is our engineer here at Small Doses. He was like, she's going to pop off on the 6th. I always knew she was going to pop off. I just didn't know if it was going to be on the 6th. But I've been saying, this is a coup. He's planning a coup. That's what this is all going to come down to, him trying to overtake power using his rally of forces. I've been saying that since 2017, but that's another conversation.
Even, so you're saying even the ancillary whites were clear. They're like, oh.
Yes, because at the end of the day, and I'm pretty sure this is where Brendan was coming from and this is where I'm coming from, he's a narcissist and his behavior is not a departure from any other narcissist, which is, I will do whatever it takes and say whatever I need to get what I want. So if that means throwing Pence and all these other motherfuckers under the bus, I'll do that. If that means putting you and you and you and you
in business, if you were Donald Trump, what has happened in your life to show you to behave any differently? You keep winning. My man keeps winning.
Why not?
And people keep letting him do whatever he wants to do. And so he's just, all right.
And even when he doesn't get what he wants, it's such an easy pivot to something else. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, and I think, and that's the other part of narcissists that I think a lot of people don't recognize, is that, like, they're only down for a short amount of time. And then they create enough lies to move on to the next thing to keep them going, because they basically just live under a mask of insecurity that they just build a new mask for. They just keep building new masks. So I was watching, and my first thought was, I better not see any Jamals or Hakeems out here.
Right. Well.
So we'll get to that. Yeah. But I really was just like, at first, what I thought I was watching was just a rally. Because to your point, I'm like, well, they can't possibly be where they are because you can't be there.
You can't be there.
So that can't possibly be what I'm watching. And then as I kept watching, they're like, this is happening. They are on the steps. They're not allowed to be on the steps. These people they're not where they're allowed to be. And I just know, and we're going to keep saying this. And at first I was like annoyed that people keep saying this, but it has to continue to be like reiterated. If these were Black people, it would have been called massacre at the Capitol.
Yep.
Now, the caveat is that it would never have been Black people because we don't even care about the Capitol like that. So there's nothing for us to gain.
We're not trying to die like that. We're not trying to symbolically go out. So why I'm going to the Capitol? There's no money there.
There's no stimmies.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no... like there's like I can't imagine a situation where it would make sense for Black people en masse to storm the Capitol for a game. Like, you know what I mean? Like and then I saw someone say, well, you know, and this was a Black girl, and she was like, you know, I just feel like we're getting into dangerous territory because we're saying these people are terrorists. And ultimately, like, they're not much different than Black Lives Matter protesters. And the fact that we, because she considered herself to be a BLM protester, she's like, we were protesting the police and, you know, for our cause, and they're protesting the government for their cause. So, you know, we shouldn't necessarily have to call them terrorists. And I just wish people would shut up.
Yeah, on that. First of all, I mean, I think you just got to go behaviorally and intentionally. Yeah. It's like, look, Black people and people who are part of representing the fact that Black lives matter, whether they're in the organization or whatever. The point is, we're representing the fact that Black lives matter. We're asserting that. The people who were doing that went out to peacefully protest against the violence that was continually being inflicted upon them, and America and the legal system, which is beholden to them, failing to serve them over and over again. So when your government are your captors, then, you know, it's like, well, who's the terrorist? So there's that. Now, this group of people specifically went to the Capitol to stop the affirming of the Electoral College, and to violently do so by any means necessary. They came in with zip ties to try and tie people up and kind of like, the intentions were very specifically different.
And sinister, and also the fact that the election was already legit. Even what was taking place was some extraneous bullshit, right? So they were coming in to stop the certification of an already legitimate election. In order to do what, though? Like, after, like, so if they had stopped it, then what?
But I will say the thing that I think she might be trying to look for, which I do think is a legitimate issue that kind of is an underlying heart for all of us in this system, is that if your government has broken its relationship with you, if your government has operated in a way where it has told you it is no longer distrustful, it is willing to deceive you, to give you misinformation, to do X, Y, and Z, then you come to a point where you are willing to be like, I'm not hearing anything you tell me. So after Vietnam and after the Iraq War and AMDs and the more like the illusions of government start falling, it's like when people are screaming at Black people for being apprehensive about the vaccine and wanting to ask questions, there is a history of the medical institutions who are put in place to protect you deliberately deceiving, killing, sterilizing, infecting. So it's not whether I believe in the efficacy of the vaccine. It's, do I trust the institutions that are in place who are responsible for my health? Do I trust that they have the integrity that that it's been proven that they haven't had in the past? And when those kinds of trust in your government, your governmental systems erode, and when you refuse to call out untruths when they happen, when you refuse to create a clear distinction between what is objectively true and what is opinion and fact, then for your own personal advantage, then you blur the lines for everybody and you can't say anything to anybody. That's why even these Johnny-come-lately Republicans who are trying to be like, everybody calm down, don't do it. That's why people are like, oh, you part of it now too? Rah, rah, rah. That's why they're all like, blue lives matter, blue lives matter. But the second that any one of those cops opposed them, and not a lot of them did, but any of the ones that did oppose them from coming in, they dragged that man over the thing and beat him down. It's like, oh, not your blue life, those blue lives, because those blue lives are aligned with us, and so they know us up. All the people who are moving the barricades and letting everybody come.
The irony in that, though, is that the government that they're claiming is lying to them, like, that government, don't get me wrong, they be lying, but the government that they're supporting are the ones who created, like, the Trump of it all.
There's
like,
no integrity to them either. So it's like your line of logic doesn't hold. No, because you can question the integrity of everybody over here, but you can't then come bring me your boy. But look at my man's here. Nah, you can't.
Your man literally made up the term alternative facts. Like,
as not a description of things that are bad and fake, but as no, this is our version of the truth. No, they're alternative facts.
which is really just lies. This is just lies.
No.
I started watching and was like giddy. I'm not gonna lie to you.
No, I saw you on your IG live, and the way you was in that salad and eyes wide, just like look.
I was like, these crackers gonna crack. Yo, this is a whole fool. Look at this.
Y'all really upset.
And you're
willing to go to such lengths.
I know there are majority of Black people were like, look at this mess. And I was just like, yo, because I had said very clearly, like I was trying to tell people, on January 6th, these whites are gathering. Do not make it your fight. Let them gather. Let them do what they're doing. We ain't got no business being out there. There's not going to be any pictures of us hugging, you know, Trump supporters and trying to, you know, bring them to the barbecue. That's not, this ain't the time.
Yeah, they don't want to come to the barbecue.
No, it really, to me, was like an example of the worst of America. And I feel like a lot of people were watching that thinking, oh my God, this is not an example of America. And it's like, this is America. What are you talking about?
Yeah. You know, and I understand our frustration at people who talk like that, but you know, it is a stark contrast to the brand and marketing of America that we are force-fed from the point where we're children, you know, it takes a little while for us to be like, yo, this is America.
Like, you know, I don't know if maybe it's also because like I grew up in a Grenada household, even though I went to American schools and my father's American. So I had a very like dual consciousness, but my mom always made a lot of effort to like expose me to international news. And this type of shit be going on internationally, like on a regular basis.
Yeah, exactly.
Like this shit is in the Philippines, Venezuela, various African
nations. Another collapsed election in Yugoslavia this afternoon. Right. This is it is the kind of thing you hear. Or you look at like Parliament and cats are going rah-rah on each other, like you're like, whoa, what is going on? Look at how these people do government. look at these people.
This is not civil.
Don't they see what we've got? What are they doing? What are they wasting so much time for? Come on over, America.
But then I was like, when I saw that they had made it into the building, when I saw them break the window, that's when I was like, when they was outside, they like broke a window with a chair. I was like, oh, these folks planned this shit. They planned this. They had to, because I was like, there's no way that they're able to do this without, no one was stopping them.
That's what I'm saying. You literally saw police officers opening the barriers for
helping people like, down the steps,
just hanging out inside, taking selfies. And you even heard other officers, like Black officers, as they were describing, you know, how many times they've been called nigger. They were also being like, but you could see the off-duty officers and military personnel from the country who are flashing their things to people so that other officers who are on duty there would let them in. And that is that's another element here that people need to hone in on. And some people are talking about it. Like, there is a tendency to characterize the people who behave like this and hold an ideology like this as, you know, poor whites.
I was going to say, yeah.
But they are, the whole element there is that poor whites can't do what happened. Poor whites can't even afford to do what happened.
Well, they had to get there.
Yeah, they had to get there, but the poor whites are committed. But they certainly didn't do it alone. And what you have to begin to understand is that in the same way that you're like, I was looking for Jamal's and Hakeem's, is like the thing people need to start to embrace here is that like this thing is more than skin deep. It's about an ideology, and so it's not just how people reflect on the outside. There are people who are willing to support these views and these movements who are standing next to you, who are wearing suits, who have degrees, who are the people in positions of real power, mm-hmm. who who feel the same way, who are okay with this. I think they said something like 57% of Americans think that he should be, or think that it was wrong, but like only 50 or 47 feel he should be punished or removed or something like that. There are, for us in the entertainment space, the amount of people who know the power of media and the image and how that affects consciousness and who control whether a thing gets greenlit or not, and will kill or let a thing go. Like, there are people who hold these ideologies. Some of them look like you and me.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not to be taken lightly. I think it's like my mom was just saying, like, because I grew up in Florida from like 8 to 18. And my mom was like, you know, the women who were sitting next to me at my job, like, this is them. This is what they were doing. And my mom was a nurse at an insurance company. And she was just like, she always knew, you know, like my gymnastics coach had told me he was a Trump supporter and I just could never go back to my gym. And I mean, I always go visit every time I come home. But when you talk about that ideology, I think for a lot of people, they were what's the word I'm looking for? Like, they were picking, they were sifting through what part of Trump they were okay with aligning themselves with, as if the other parts that they didn't align themselves with didn't count anymore. So like, that's the part that always amazed me. This idea of like, well, I just like his personality. And it's like that you can't.
That's only when pushed. The people had a natural alignment with what he represents and who he is, because Trump tries to take on the idealized paradigm of the white Western male, the white Western Christian male, which is, in order to make it in America, we've all been taught that that is the image you need to get the closest to. It's why white women have a kind of a psychosis issue with themselves, because they, you know, you're trying to be a white man, but you don't ever get to actually hold the power of a white man. So you have all this power, but it can be taken from you at any moment. And that's, you know, within the white power structure. And so, you know, I think that that element is very much at play.
Do you feel like, okay, so when I was watching it, I was like, oh, I feel like this is every like insurrection type movie I've seen. Like, this is Angelina Jolie, Salt. This is Nicolas Cage, National Treasure. I was like, I feel like there's a Denzel film that fits this. Like, I've seen this movie, and in my mind, I'm like, there's people in the background that are doing way more sinister stuff than we're seeing on screen. Because one thing that I also noticed was like the footage that we were being shown is very different than the footage that they're showing us now. Like when I was watching this in real time, the footage was more show the buffoonery, right? It was more it was more so like, oh, look at this guy. And damn, like that's crazy that he's in Nancy Pelosi's office. And look at this guy carrying the speaker's podium, et cetera. Now we're seeing footage of like massive crowds screaming out, hang Mike Pence, which I find hilarious, by the way.
That's nice.
That they erected
you a just lost one. It's socially how come
they erected a noose and it was for a white man. And I find that's a lot of mindfuckery for me to deal with. And I've had to laugh through all of this with ease. Like I haven't had to, like, I keep waiting for myself to feel some type of way. And I'm like, you know what? Eventually we'll see how this all comes down. But when I was watching the footage, I knew intrinsically though, we're watching a lot of foolishness and goofery, but there's like deeper things happening in the background. Exactly. I was actually very relieved to see that, like, we didn't end up seeing a hostage situation, you know, that we didn't end up seeing like, okay, these were the people that were thrown out in the mix so that some former Navy SEAL couldn't, you know, could go to the background and like go through the labyrinth of tunnels and rope up Mitch McConnell and Mike Pence. And next thing we know, we see them on a hostage tape. I can't, it's hard for me to say it without laughing.
Conspiracy me was really like, cause I was watching Lindsey Graham give that silly ass speech about all his indignation. And I was like, but now this is the final straw. He's like, this is, come on, people. it's a Democratic election. It's done. And I'm like, you look silly, girl. I was like, this is so performative that I was starting to be like.
And you know, you are an Emmy nominated and Tony Award nominated performer. So you can recognize performance when you see it.
And I was just like, I'm looking at it, I was like, this is making me feel like, because again, I know this doesn't happen unless y'all let this happen. And all of y'all managed to get spirited away to safety just in time. And I was like, this is beginning to make me feel like y'all decided to let this symbol of, you know, this very contrasting symbol with what happened this summer of white supremacist ideology wash through here, and you're gonna, there'll be a couple of symbolic arrests, but you ain't gonna really go sweep through and go get those people. And now you're out here crying wolf. So you wanted to let the people have their thing, and now you can be like, all right, certify this election and we can move forward, feeling like you let people have their stuff. But people wasn't even gonna let you calm them down, because the second you said, stop this, people, they was like, oh, look at this turncoat hoe. And they was rah-rah Lindsey Graham in the airport, in the national airport. They were all over this man walking down the hallway. I was like, wow.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, somebody said, and they're just like, you're like traitor, turncoat, like mobs of people. As he's just in his phone walking
Where
down the corridor.
Where is Lil Jon with the next turncoat ho crunk record? That could be the return of crunk. You with turncoat ho.
Yeah.
I mean, so as somebody who is definitely much more versed in these names and the politics of it all, and you know, the ways in which this will move forward along like legal lines, do you have any theories?
I am imagining that there will not be many like legal consequences in the political realm as far as Donnie and his cohorts and people.
Really?
I am really feeling like, I mean, I haven't been paying much attention, but I believe people are already calling for the, you know, in the interest of unity, let us, you know, in the interest of moving forward, let us, because the thing is what that is, no matter what you think it is, you know, treason is, it's criminal, whatever, but it was a real show of power. It was an extraordinary show of power, as was, he lost the election, but he lost it winning more votes than any other Republican candidate in history. Almost, you know, it's like 75 million, 72 million votes. That represents a large swath of the population that is all good with my
man.
That is publicly good with my man. And so again, we're not even counting the people who are privately good with my man. So I think they are fearful, which is why they've allowed all of this nonsense to go on for so long, which I was partly curious about for a little while. I was like, y'all are continuing to go along with, this is a guy you called a clown before he got elected. You all think he's a clown. I know you think he's a clown. Absolutely. So now that he's lost, why are you doing this? Then I realized of the $250, $300 million that Trump just had raising during this last month and a half, 2 months, the Republican National Committee gets 25 to 40% of that. So they were making money the whole time. He was beating the drums of all this fraud election. And again, there are enough of the people who, for certain congressmen, senators, enough of their constituency rock with my man. And so they're trying to ride the line of, all right, let me not look ridiculous after this is over, but let me make sure I'm still here when this is over, because I don't want these people to come for me or feel like I was against them. So I think there are people politically, because this is not an aberration, they're thinking about how they represent this portion of the country. Mm-hmm. They are thinking about what they can do. And so I really think that there's going to be a reluctance to do those things. And you know, Jimmy Bides want to get going on a successful presidency. So he don't got much time. He don't got but two and a half, 3 years.
My mom was like, Biden looked like he needed to take a long nap after today. He really looked like he really...
And I wouldn't be mad at him. He did his work. All we asked him was to get here. All we did was ask him to get here.
You know, I think... And he was the first one to publicly be like, these are insurgents. Like, this is an insurrection. And then people were calling it an insurrection. Up until that point, people kept calling it a protest. And it was interesting because I was watching CNN. And then I'm also, it was a command center in here, y'all. I had a computer set up. And then I shared my screen. So I had extended the screen. So I was looking at the TV, the CNN Live on my gosh darn TV. Then I had my phone set up on my computer. And then I had my iPad set up. And so I was really, and I'm in a group chat with a lot of...
It was so sophisticated, I thought your mother was there.
Exactly. And she was not. She was on the FaceTime, just her audio was on the IG Live. And I really was like watching what the people within IG Live were saying at the same time as watching what the people on CNN were saying and like seeing how things lined up, you know? And Anderson Cooper is really the only one who was keeping it a buck, by the way. Like Anderson Cooper from Jump Street was like, what the fuck is this? And
the only way to report that.
What the fuck whole time. And then like Mayor Bowser came on and was like, you know, we're putting things in place. He was like, but, and then Tapper was like, why are there going to be arrests? Like Tapper was not playing games either. Jake Tapper came on with full Anderson Cooper vibes and kept the same energy and was like, yeah, this is ridiculous. If these were black people, if these were the blacks, this would be shut down. So that was
my initial surprise because I was like, the America has never hesitated to deal harshly with poor whites. Never. So I was like, I expect them. They give the illusion to the poor whites that they deal differently with them. So they can smite them from the blind side. But in general, so that's part of why I was like, oh, okay. Folks is in cahoots because this is, otherwise y'all would just beat them aside.
The cohesion was definitely in the mix. While we are airing this episode, they're voting on impeachment. So I don't know if they're going to go through that with that or not. But when I was watching it and seeing just the shock and awe of the pundits, I was also growing annoyed that once again it was just like all white news people reporting this and that there weren't like black voices. But then I saw a black journalist bring up this very valid point. And she was like, you know, when Black Lives Matter really came to the fore, there was a lot of questioning of if black journalists could really report objectively on Black Lives Matter. Can white journalists report objectively on this? I'm curious. I mean, I think we have to really take a look at when you said earlier, like media is so important. I don't take this podcast lightly. Because I understand that like media rules. This is especially at a time right now where that's really our.
I don't believe it if I didn't. I don't believe it if I haven't seen it happen on TV.
If TMZ hasn't reported it, my man was like, oh, Dr. Dre had an aneurysm, and I was like, who'd you hear that from? And he was like,
who'd you hear that from?
Yeah, I was like, who'd you hear that from? And he was like, he told me some site. I was like, I don't believe it until TMZ has reported it. And I don't even like TMZ, but I do know that they don't report falsehoods. Like there's some type of legal ramification because of the way that because I think they're certified as a news source, so they're not. Like they can get
allowed to, right.
Yeah. So they can't,
like their liabilities. They can't just print and say salacious things unless there's some level of verification.
They are not like all of these like blogs that just be like, whatever the fuck I feel like posting today, click on it. Rah, rah, rah. I dare you to sue me. Like I should have sued so many blogs at this point, but I just, you know, I didn't have the time. I was on my trampoline.
And you couldn't be sure they were going to be able to continue to afford their server fees. So he's like, why bother?
I was surprised when I woke up the next morning and it was a wrap. I really was like, why should you wake up in the morning? They're like, it's over. Like they blew up Capitol Hill. Like while you were sleeping, shit popped off in a whole other way.
I don't think I as much as they went there to, you know, cause a ruckus, I don't think all of them expected it to go down the way it did. And I don't think all of them knew what they were trying to do. Cause I think a lot of them, there were enough of them who were surprised that cats were just letting them in. Because there were some people on side who were just like, we in here. One of the greatest videos was watching, you know, people breaking through windows, crashing through doors, and then getting inside and walking in between the velvet ropes with disorderly possession of the velvet ropes, carrying it, you know, looking around as they go through the ropes. And it was like, what is it about the psychology that they broke, and then these ropes just being here kept these people in line, and then as soon as they broke into the rest. It was just like, it was so weird. Such a weird insight into humanity and human psychology. Right. But a lot of them didn't know what, and didn't probably think they were gonna succeed, which is why they were kind of like, all right, well, you know, we gonna come back tomorrow. I don't know.
If I don't see Rotunda used in the title of a mixtape, Everyone has failed me. Like Ruckus in the Rotunda, you know what I'm saying? Like Ratchet Rotunda. Some type of rotunda usage has to be utilized because it's really, if we don't do that, or a rapper name, Lil Rotunda, Young Rotunda, like I want to see the use of this word because I have not seen it used more than this week. George Bush's daughter was like, I kissed my father goodbye in that rotunda. And it was, you know. But I think the number one sentiment, so what do you think? What do you think was the number one sentiment that Black people shared as they watched this happen? There's only right answers.
I think it was kind of like, that makes sense.
Right. The upper meme where she's like, exactly.
Y'all. It's the embodiment of that James Baldwin quote where he says, yep, Black people often to our detriment, unfortunately, you know, look at, you know, white people who embrace whiteness and their behavior as that of children who mm-hmm. have believed their own delusions. And it's just like, we shake our heads, but again, sometimes our that attitude allows us to, you know,
become the victimization
because we refuse to accept that they are fully formed human beings who have made decisions to live like this, and we have to deal with them as adults and not children, which brings about more harsher realizations, I think.
For me, the number one sentiment that Black people had watching it was, it ain't us.
Not it.
I was just like, it ain't us. And when I see people comparing, like, you know, Black Lives Matter this and Black Lives Matter, I understand the wanting to do that and the natural response to do that because of it's like proximity to Black Lives Matter in just timeliness. Mm-hmm. But the two are so just not comparable in any shape or form. It's just people gathering. That's the only similarity. And I really feel like people are just trying to
gathering with anger against the government. But one of them is anger against how the government is treating them. And the other one is just anger against the government.
and it's really, it's really a wild time in general right now. So I feel like there's also the sentiment of like, oh, more weird shit. You know, like we've just been on such a trend of just weird shit, wild shit, you know, that I think some people were just like, oh, look what's today on the crazy TV.
Somebody was like, welcome to December 42nd, 2020.
I mean, turn
the page.
So I saw people saying that, you know, they felt like Carrie Hilson particularly was probably the most notable person who said that she felt like, you know, them banning Trump from Twitter and all these social media platforms is of concern to her because she's seen other people who were banned that were actually, you know, not fairly banned. And she said, you know, she feels like it's an infringement upon like freedom of speech and censoring. And I just wanted to let people know, like, that's not what that.
It's not a free speech platform. It's not a
sign of terms.
It's a private platform. They have privileges and they do what they want on their shit.
You know, it's the same reason that, you know, sites like Breitbart and what's the one that
if they cut off the internet to your webpage where you're saying what you want to say, that's one thing, but
you pretty much can say whatever you want to say on your own. Now, like,
you can't assume that there's always going to be access to a couple million people who might stumble upon it, you know, but that's
right. Like, I created SFB Society so that there's like a space that I know shit can get said that is controlled by me and my team, and that people who respect that this is a safe space are going to operate within. Now, I know that when I'm on Instagram, I can post the same exact shit on Instagram, and they might be like, no, this is against our community guidelines because we don't, you know, we see the word cracker as hate speech and take it down.
And I can be upset at that, but
But I can't call it censorship.
Right. I can't call it, you know, I'm being denied my rights.
So where do we go from here? And what musical, like, what's the musical going to be called for this? Because
I had people who were like, yo, I just saw, it was like, I just saw the latest non-equity production of Les Mis put on by the Rabble Rousers at the Capitol. And so I was like, yeah. They said, what is this raggedy off-Broadway production of Les Mis we're watching right now? I was like, that's good.
I feel like I really need you to hit me with some Monday More. And you know you have it ready, so let's not front.
One day more. Another day, another destiny. This never-ending road to Calvary.
Yes!
These men who seem to know my crime will surely come a second time. One day more.
I did not live until today. How can I live when we are parted?
One day more.
Tomorrow
you'll be worlds away. My world has started. Come on, Alto. Come on with the tones. Come on, surgical tones. Come on, surgical tones.
Ah, Brandon. I need y'all to know that I literally texted Brandon and was like, what you about to do right now? Come on the podcast, talk about this shit with me. Because he's one of the people that I knew was watching this shit and had opinions and opinions and opinions. Ultimately, I want to leave y'all with this, though. There is a really overwhelming sense, I think, by a lot of people that shit is only going to get worse. That, you know, this is an indicator of, like, what this nation is really about. And that if this is really what this nation's about, then we can't really thrive as Black people in this nation. And I mean, there's a part of me that's like, well, I mean, we figure it out every time, you know, but there's also a part of me that says, there's something shifting in, like, the universe right now that feels much greater than just, like, oh, happening within a rotunda. And I feel curious to see how that plays out, and I'm not ultimately sure how it will. And so I at one point, I felt very confident in saying, like, make your way out of this country, get out, like, we need to make exits. I don't say that we shouldn't still be conscious about that and considering that there are other better ways to live, but I do feel like, it's like that show that you're binging and you're just like, I'm not really sure about this yet, but I still need to see 3 more episodes before I completely just let it go. Right. What are your thoughts, Brandon?
You know, I think that the things that we're dealing with in America are not unique to America. You know, these the rise of fascism, the reemergence or exposure of of this deep-seated prejudice that is primarily carried out along racial lines, colorist lines, that has been pervasive throughout all of Western society. Mm-hmm. You know, since the advent of, you know, Europeans' arrival and assertion onto the plane of civilization, the era of civilization. But I think an important thing. I think an important thing for, you know, those of us colloquially known as Black is to recognize that we are a global people.
Yep.
And these issues are to be faced conceived of from a global perspective, and recognizing that even if you decide your home base needs to be someplace else, which maybe it does, there might be a more strategic way to engage in this fight. Mm-hmm. but recognizing that wherever you go, that needs to be done. And also recognizing that there is not, it's not necessary to seed more of this land in order to you know, find traction as a people and assert ourselves as a people. I've moved out of this idea of thinking that, you know, America is this place where we've been brought into as foreigners and subjugated. No, America is a creation that we are very much a part of. From its inception, from before the European had arrived here. You know, the indigenous and African people look like black people who have been here, you know, who came here before then. And so what this land, the legacy of the Americas as a whole, we are very much, people are very much a part of. And so this idea that we don't have something to continue to lay claim to here, I think is something to be abandoned. But again, it's to recognize the America and the Republic as we know it may end, but that doesn't mean the world ends. And that certainly doesn't mean we, you know, that doesn't mean we as a people end.
Yes, yes.
You know, and that is the thing to recognize. So maybe here is not the spot for you, but we are a global people and these issues are global issues and we have to remain in the fight no matter where we're fighting from. That's my thought.
And that's that on that. To take some DMTs, so I'll just take before we get out of here, so we'll just do a few. First question: how do we create a safe place for black folks in the middle of a country that insists on ignoring white nationalists that are everywhere?
I think that becomes about fortifying and expanding black spaces, you know, where you're at, and making sure that the people with whom you've done that and built that community make sure that you are equipped to protect those black spaces on your own. That's from numbers to knowledge to, you know, being connected to people who can secure you all physically. You have weapons, you have training, you have people who are aware, but that also means you have people in your community who deal with your local political leaders so that you form the relationships that can be leveraged. That you fortify your economic foundation so that you have a powerful enough base to leverage. You know, the only rules and laws that people follow are the ones that can be enforced, right? And you can only enforce things through leverage. People respond to money and collective power, and that's how any other minority group manages to kind of create a foothold in which there are consequences when they are targeted. Black people are in a different situation because the paradigm upon which the whole country is based upon the targeting of black people, which means other, you know, other demographic groups will also allow that to happen because it's not them. So there are more fights, but the battle remains the same. It means working amongst one another to make sure that we can protect one another as we build with one another. And anybody who wants to ally themselves with that, you know, you rock with that. But it's about creating strategic alliances and foundations with that old single goal in mind, which is the autonomy and the power to leverage and expand the autonomy of black people, black communities.
And I think also, it's just kind of like there for reasons that make perfect sense because of just our initiation into this landscape of this country. Like we still operate much in part like from white institutions as a source point of like our blood source of our community. And what I mean by that is, you know, there have been times throughout this nation's life where black folks have shifted that, right? And then they bomb Black Wall Streets and they bomb Philadelphia, you know, and they eradicate and undercut. So it's not to say that efforts haven't been made to move that and to...
Under the guise of the violation of white female purity, always.
Yes, always. Always. So it's not to say that we haven't done that, but we have to continue to do that in ways that that, like Brandon said, have other factions that are supporting, have other ways of support. So like, I think one of the things is, you know, we do this in an insular way without having enough balance of the fact that we still have to be like in the mix of these other spaces, the political spaces, the law enforcement spaces, et cetera. And we haven't always had the opportunity to do that, right? Because nope. That's the truth. But we are in a new era and space where we have to take these opportunities in a different way than I think we have before. And there's... And
cultivate the mindset to operate the way that you need to once you get into those positions. Because a lot of the elements of the people...
Yes, the tokenism... Yeah,
our generation or the generation just above us, the people who have managed to achieve in certain places, they haven't taken out the dragons that they had to avoid, and they are protective of what they have, so they don't they take it as enough to be a symbol, to be a token in the system, as opposed to working to empower the collective within the system, because they know that makes them vulnerable to losing what they've gotten. But you have to cultivate the consciousness of the people who, once we get there, it's worth risking that. It's worth losing it because of what can be gained, ultimately. Well,
but that's also cultivating community thought, right? And we've talked about that before. And the fact that, like, when you are thinking in the sense of, like, what I do advances not just me, but my community, that's built into how you move, right? So every advance that you make, like, that's how you and I move. That's how we've always moved. Like, we make decisions in our career, with our money, with our philanthropy, with our creativity, et cetera, that always has the consciousness of, how does this help my community? It's never just solely based on, how does this advance me as an individual? And I'm not even sure how that came to pass, if that was like something my mother instilled in me, or if that was teachers, or if I just came out that way. But that's how you and I operate. That's how everyone in my circle operates. And it's just continuing to expand that ideology. When we look at other communities, that's how they be operating. Like,
you know, absolutely.
Like Jewish community, largely
at all
in part,
costs, is like riding for each other.
Yes, because the thought process is, if we look out for each other, it's gonna rock with me. Like, it's gonna serve me. So, you know,
I think it's even more than that. It's like, actually, I think a lot of these communities have very much ingested, I am not as important as the whole. So even if it don't rock out for me, it's going to rock for my people. And my people are what matters.
But the survival rocks out for me. Right. Like, that's what I'm saying.
Right. And for them, that rocks out for them. Yeah, because they see value in that.
Like, Americans can't even conceptualize suicide bombers. Because they're
like, what, son? I mean, we pretty much done with the military.
Like,
we're done with that level of sacrifice. We're like, yeah, right. Why?
Explain.
For what? I mean, if they show up here, yeah, I got you.
All right, next question. Was your initial response as a Black person watching, A, this is some bullshit, or B, oh shit, they about to tear some stuff up, or C, they about to get a real education now? I went from C to B to A in about 10 minutes. You know, as a Black person watching, my real thought process was, they're not going to get, like, I already knew, like, they're not going to get any
punishment significantly.
Like, I was annoyed by it, but I also was like, yeah. Like, the fact that they put these people on the no-fly list is hilarious, and also just, like, actually surprising to me that they even went that far, because...
There are going to be a couple of symbolic people who get wrapped up. There are definitely going to be some people who get wrapped up, symbolic.
See, I thought that they would wrap up, and again, while this is airing, they're deciding on the impeachment. I felt like they would wrap up Trump because they have to make it look like they're not in party with him, and they have to, like, make him the scapegoat, even though all these Republicans was in the mix with him.
They have to scream and rah-rah and denounce it, but they don't have to do anything.
But then he can still run for office again, and I don't think they want that.
I don't think they want it to. Hey, look, I think they're back there like, all right, so, yo, call Mitch. Come on, y'all. We was on our knees in the back, y'all.
We was under the table.
I told him he could bring it there. He couldn't bring it. Don't bring it here. Bring it there. But he brought it here. So, come on, y'all.
I just feel like That was my, so those are my initial thoughts. My initial thoughts, look at these crazy white folks. Sounds like they're going to get away with all of this shit. They're breaking a window. Like those are my, that was how my series of thoughts went. And then I was like, I was like, as long as Maxine Waters and Ayanna Pressley are safe, I feel comfortable right now.
Like, as long as Ilhan Omar still in the back.
Right. Like, is the squad okay? Is the squad okay? All right, last one. We've all agreed that this is going to be a Zoom event, right? Because if not, I'm going to need someone to get the Pope on the line, ask if we can borrow his bulletproof car from Madam VP Kamala. So, the inauguration. It has to be a Zoom event, right?
Yeah, I don't know what they're planning on doing. I don't know what... I mean, they just need to shoot it like... Because
now people are worried about Kamala's safety. You know, since all this went down unchecked, people are worried about them doing this thing out in the open and, you know, the safety of Biden and comms.
Oh, I was like, Kamala? Maybe both of them, but...
Well, Kamala is because she's a black woman, so they still don't like the fact that she's both of that coming in.
Yeah, but I don't know what that does for them, just taking Kamala out. But also just taking Joe out, just put Kamala up there. So
exactly. I'm voting for a Zoom inauguration. The truth of the matter is we are in a weird space. We're in a new era. I know for me.
I don't think they can do that symbolically. I think they gotta stand up. They gotta show up. They gotta stand out there symbolically. I think they gotta do it.
But I'm saying, do they have to, can it be closed?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, it's going to be limited, right? So because of the circumstances. So I think that will give them the ability to make it even more stringent and make sure that there aren't, and everybody who is there is vetted and things like, I think it gives them even more rope with which to do that.
We're really in a pandemic, Brandon.
Still. We remain.
Once more into the breach. Well.
Whether to suffer the slings and arrows. Yes.
I appreciate you as always. And thank you for bringing your intellect, your wit, your knowledge and information to the conversation. For everybody who was watching all of this. I know we all said to ourselves, now they would have never done this if it was us. Like, and we all know that. And I think ultimately that is what I feel like has rung out the longest out of all the reactions is the reality that like, if it were black people, this wouldn't have happened. And I don't know how much that really matters at the end of the day, because it's just like, it's an inalienable truth of this country. And it's not going to change the way they deal with these people.
Yeah.
Like comparing what they would have done to black people to the, like, that's not what's going to change how they deal with these people. And then someone say to me that we shouldn't use the word terrorist to define them, because that is going against, or that's supporting the symbolism of Muslims. And I was like, I need y'all to stop. First of all, I need white people to stop telling me what's anti-black.
Muslims, I don't know.
Basically, the thought process was that we shouldn't call them terrorists because that supports the ideology of the word terrorist being used for anyone who challenges the government. And I'm just like, that doesn't support that. These people were terrorists, not because they challenged the government. They were terrorists because of the methods that they used to challenge the government. And furthermore, and I said this on my Instagram, I'm going to say it here, they have been terrorizing fellow citizens through this ideology long before this.
And their general behavior. And their general behavior. Because this is how they behave in their lives and
that's
in their environment. They feel comfortable. So, you know, but for me, I'm just calling them criminals. Those motherfuckers are criminals. Look at these crimes. These are crimes.
But understand something, everybody. Like, Dylann Roof came out of this ideology, right? The white people that went to Michigan to with plans.
You reaching too far back. Nashville. This the other was it last week? I forgot all about
the other damn day.
Yeah, so it's like that's what this last year has been. It's like I forgot about that mass bombing by that domestic white terrorist that happened a week and a half ago. That was barely on the news.
So. for folks to try to act like the word terrorist is not fair to be used, or that it's inaccurate, or that we should let it go. It's like, no, they need to be called what they are. There are Muslim terrorists. There are like, there are terrorists of all nations. Like, that's not to say that that isn't the case. And for what it's worth, there is something to say that the fact that, like, you know, folks like to try to homogenize the word terrorism for all Muslims, which is a complete gross inaccuracy and should not be allowed. However, that does not undercut the reality that these crackers is terrorizing motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And they have been domestic terrorists, and they need to be held accountable for it. Will they? What? Well, it remains to be seen. But I'll tell you one thing, it ain't our fight. And that's that.
Tell you right.
The last dose.
Get your stimulus. Let's just see, you know, what goes on for the rest of this year. You know, keep energizing your crystals under the under the new moon, under the
full
moon.
Stimulus from Donald J. Trump.
So that's your stimulus? That's not a stimulus.
But, no, it literally says, because I thought it was from a tax thing.
How and are
says,
you able to get a stimulus?
It says economic impact payment, President Donald J. Trump, $230.85.
I did not get one, but that is exactly what it says.
I was like, oh.
Well, that must
be that ain't gonna get it, but oh,
you must have got a stimulus check on under your Instagram name. Like, you must have a fake Instagram name, and that's how you got your Instagram your stimulus check. Because
I don't know how I got that check.
Y'all, Brandon out here scamming the stimmies.
I didn't apply for that.
What are you gonna do with your $230?
Deposit is in my bank. Buy groceries.
I would absolutely bought a pair of Jordans with that, and that's a, that's.
I've never purchased nor owned a pair of Jordans.
What?
I mean, my parents were certainly not buying them for me, and then I never really liked high tops. It's just too much fabric around my ankle. I need more mobility than that. It was too much fabric.
Really.
Yeah, my feet felt too encumbered. Remember, I'm a tropical people. So I need the Usain Bolt. I need my feet out. I need my legs free.
I can't even. I love Brandon with all of my heart. I love y'all for listening. Please spread the word. Small doses. We continue on. And I know a lot of us like are laughing. And then there's some of us who felt very, very anxiety ridden about, you know, January 6th. And ultimately, all we can continue to do is breathe through this and be innovative and strengthen community in the many ways that I feel like folks have started doing in the midst of this pandemic, you know? So, like, folks have found ways to remain connective and having weekly Zoom sessions with their family and, you know, doing things that they may have been too busy to do before and now feel like it's a priority to do. So everybody stay safe, stay strong, stay Black. And Brandon, thank you as always for being willing to share your aura and your existence with us.
Well, peace and blessings to you and the people.
Star Bands Audio, a podcast, a podcast network.